Well, I want to, before we start, I want to welcome the unseen guest, the precious Holy Spirit, who is our helper, the one called alongside to help, and how we love him, how we lean on him heavily in the times that we are in. And before I start, we want to show you a little clip, and I just want to tell you to open your hearts, not open your minds. A lot of times we say open your minds, but that's where the enemy comes in and tries to infiltrate and try to plant things in you. So open your hearts to this video, to this clip, and then we'll begin. Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. I'm praising about I'm preaching about the one point to God.
That's it.
Like a man's church to the man's church of Pentecost. Is gonna do for the one Lord. Mississippi, where that Jackson is. Remember the Lord done for us. Speak in tongues. Worship of God. Need the Holy Ghost. But feeling the Holy Ghost is. That means you're speaking in tongues. He wants the money, what you give him. The red wine. If the Lord has a word, he wants a Pentecost of Bernadas, Mississippi. The Lord is here tonight. And his name is Jesus. One God, and then he's gonna praise out his tears and just worship God. And then he's gonna worship God. That's the Lord is gonna do it. That means God has to do it, and then Jesus has to do it, and then God has to do it, and then Jesus. Wow, I love to preach tonight.
Spirit did anoint him, and I believe he felt inspiration. His dad and I were surprised. Because he was saying victory, and we're going to have a red hot revival. And to me, that was unique. That's a term I haven't really used, red hot revival. But that's kind of, I guess, a little four-year-old child's thinking. And I certainly endorse it.
I see nothing but Jesus in a little boy. That would make anybody happy. I can't compose myself when he up there.
Yes, he is. Tell him. Preach it.
Out of the mouth of babes, God created us. So Cannon is one of those little babes.
The Lord of victory. Victory. Amen. Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Out of the mouth of babes. And you know, this video clip raised a lot of controversy because of the age, the young, tender age of this little boy. Some people have criticized it and said he shouldn't be preaching in church. And this and that because of his young age and whatnot. And some says, well, it was all staged. He memorized it. Listen. Wouldn't you rather have your child or your grandchild up there preaching, speaking the word of God, than up there gyrating to the music of the world and speaking trash and talking the language of God and listening to hip-hop with ripped jeans and just, you know, walking and talking loosely. I would rather have that hands down. If that was our little Joy up there preaching, I would be standing on top of the seat on the chair, her biggest cheerleader. Woo! Go! Go preach it, you know? So out of the mouth of babes, praise is perfected. And why not? Cannot God use a 4-year-old just like he can use a 14-year-old or a 24 or so on? There's no age which says, now you're ready. The Holy Spirit comes upon a person. Sure, he's not perfect. He miscued a few words and said things that maybe weren't, you know, perfect grammar. But he's 4 years old and just shows that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, what God can't do. And it says, be careful when it comes to these little ones. God guards over them preciously. There, he says, unless we become like that of a child, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So what I'm going to speak about today is we're going to take a little turn. We're not going off of faith, but today I'm going to be speaking to you about what are you passing down to your children? What are you passing down to your children? Turn to Proverbs 13:22, and I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified. What are you passing down to your children and your children's children? Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man and a good woman leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness. Notice it doesn't say a good man and woman leaves an inheritance of gold, silver, houses, cars, although that's included in the inheritance that we may lay up for our children and our grandchildren. There's nothing wrong with that. That's part of the inheritance. But it says that a good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability, of all the things to hand down and leave to your children. The one thing stood out, moral stability and goodness to his children's children. And notice what comes right after that. And the wealth of the sinner finds its way into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. I find that really interesting that who wrote this passage attached the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just right after saying a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Could there be a link, a connection there between the transfer, the wealth transfer that's laid up for us is connected, it's directly connected to you passing down moral stability and goodness to your children? I thought, why put that verse right after talking about an inheritance? Oh, by the way, the wealth of the sinner. There's a reason why the apostle, why the Holy Spirit put that right after this phrase. So maybe if you're not passing on anything down to your children, if you're leaving it up to just, you know, to this or to that one or to let them learn of their own, schools will? No, the public schools aren't going to teach them nothing. They're not going to teach them moral stability. They're not going to teach them about God or prayer. That was taken out years ago. But the Holy Spirit so spoke this so beautifully to where he said, the wealth of the sinner finds its way into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. When a good man leaves an inheritance to his children and children's children. They're linked together. They're linked. So what are you passing down to your children? What are you speaking to them? What are you saying to them? What kind of inheritance are you leaving behind for them? In the Hebrew form, it literally means, this passage means possessions, endowments, and allotments. Endowments. There's a word for you. Endowments in the scripture means spiritual gifts. your spiritual gifts, parents, that you have, you should be passing that on down to your children, laying hands on them. You have a gifting. You have these abilities God given in you. They should be passed on down. Yes, they can be imparted in a church service through the pastors and a fivefold ministry, but how much more there at home when a gift is recognized, when you know, lay your hands on your children and pass those endowments down to them. 1 Timothy 4:14 says this, "Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, that special endowment which was intentionally bestowed upon you by the Holy Spirit through prophetic utterance when the elders laid their hands on you." Amen. We are to impart into our children giftings, abilities, and some, your children, some of them already have giftings and abilities, and you can see that. Others can. We've seen that in that little boy. Now, he's not little anymore. He's a teenager preaching hard, doing revivals, and you may say, well, what kind of church would let a little boy like that preach? You know, well, why not? I'm sure he's preached to the children's church. His proud papa was up there on stage and the pastor, and you know, so hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe God was pleased. God was pleased with that. But could it be that the wealth transfer is going to be transmitted into the hands of you parents and grandparents who are instructing your children and raising them up in moral soundness, goodness, and in the Lord's ways? Yes, I believe that that's a huge avenue, because we just read it there in Proverbs 13:22. When a child has been grounded in God's word from an early age, when they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, when they've accepted the Lord, my goodness, that incorruptible seed came on the inside of them, and they are blessed. Their life is set on a course, a blessed course, an empowerment, and the enemy in these days, in the days that we live, is after our children, our kids. It's big time. It's big time. It's so, so obvious. So I want to touch a little bit on Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man and woman leaves an inheritance of moral stability." Can we talk about moral stability for a little bit? What is moral stability? Well, it means to be firmly established, to be secure, to be fixed, to be aright, steadfast, to make ready and forthright, not to be swayed, but to be morally soundproof. Never morally, to have an excellence, to have moral excellence. Never before, I believe since I've been here on this planet and this earth, has moral stability been so out of control in our nation. There's no morals whatsoever. It's we see it not just in the youth, but we see it in every level, every level. What the state wants to do, what the state schools are trying to implement into our children at a young, tender age is detestable. It's despicable, and it's an abomination to the Lord. To take a kindergarten child, a child in first grade, second grade, and then some, and then try to bring this gender identity program in, and to try to bring confusion and perversion into them, and say, well, you know, to a 5 or 6 year old, to a precious little girl, well, you know, honey, maybe you're not really a girl, you know, maybe you're not. Would you like to be a boy? You know, do you have did you play with trucks? Do you have that tendency more to play with trucks? And plant those seeds in these children. And in, it's a doctrine of devils. It is. And it's after our kids. And seven states have already implemented, mandated this doctrine, this curriculum of gender identity into the schools, seven of them. And I declare this morning, it will not come to Hawaii. It will not. Pray, church. We need to pray against this. Because, you know, for those you may say, well, we're good. My kids are in private school. Great. Or you homeschool. But for the ones, the enemies after our kids, and these things that they're trying to push on our kids at such an early, vulnerable age, the word says it's an abomination. It's an abomination. Can you imagine the confusion it would bring in these precious young minds? Am I really whom I was born to be? You know what? If somebody comes and asks me and says, am I trying to be a female? I'm not trying to be a female. I'm not trying to be a woman. I know I'm a woman. I was born that way. I have all the furnishings and all the equipment of a woman. I don't have to question that or wonder because of these things or, that the enemy may have planted. And the same thing with boys, with that gender. And it goes against the very principle in Genesis where God said, and God created them and blessed them, both male and female. God bless them. And this type of indoctrination, this demonic thing, has to be stopped. It cannot be passed on. Precious, precious children at such a tender young age. And to bring that, and with all of the other things that are attached to that teaching and to that gender thing, gay lifestyle, lesbianism, homosexuality, that's all allowed. That's all acceptable. It's all get used to it. It's not acceptable to God. And he's a God that does not change. And the church has got to rise up, has got to say something against these things. If the righteous, evil prevails when good men and women say and do nothing. If you know, our little Joy, she's going to be entering kindergarten pretty soon. And if she does go to a public school, you better believe I'm going to be in that office questioning their curriculum. I want to see that. I want to see the curriculum you're going to be teaching them. I want to see it. I want to read it. I want to make sure, you know, that she's protected and that none of this is going to be indoctrinated and downloaded into our grandchild. No, not going to happen. Not going to happen. And parents should be in an outrage. They should be, you know, furious. And so I'm asking you to the public school system, get involved, go to the meetings, ask the teachers, ask the principal, can I see the curriculum? Can I see what you're teaching our children for this new year? And ask them if they are bringing in that gender identity program and protest it, because it just came under, it just seeped right under subtly, just like the enemy is. He's a snake. You know, he's such a snake. And the confusion that this will bring. Can you imagine our kids going to school, well, with sports? Well, I'm a girl, but I'm really want to be a boy, and I'm going to start taking these hormones to change my chemistry the way God originally made me, and then they'll just remove the signs off of even the bathroom doors. Just make it, you know, free for all, and there'll be no division, no line as of, you know, your sexual identity, and they're starting at an early age, and this is something that we just got to be on guard about. Your spiritual antenna's got to be up, and you know, girls coming to school at a young age dressed like boys, and boys vice versa. Let me show you a scripture. You're not aware of it. Turn to Deuteronomy 22. Deuteronomy 22:5 says this. Very explicit. not mincing words. It says, the woman shall not wear that which pertains to a man, neither shall a man put on woman's garments. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord your God. Yep. The woman shall not. I don't care if it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament. God doesn't change. His word still, this word still pertains. I don't care how far advanced we are. That word relevant, God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. Whether it's cross-dressing, wearing something inappropriate, if a man ought not be wearing woman's clothes, you may say, well, what about some of those countries like in Scotland where they wear the kilt? Well, that's their culture. You know, we don't have to get, you know, mince things like that. That's in their culture. But I'm talking about where, when a perversion, when that spirit comes in and tries to pervert and twist, that's not God. We love everyone. We love everyone. But yet, you want to help them get free from this because it perverts and twists the original way where God created Adam and Eve, and he created male and female. Yeah. Turn to Deuteronomy, a couple chapters after, before this, Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. The Lord has an inheritance that he passes on down to us. And it's not just gold and silver, because those things we can't take with us, obviously. But the people whom he loves and has redeemed, God delights in gathering us around him to celebrate the goodness of a full life. But his inheritance goes so much more beyond houses and cars and these earthly possessions. These things that we take with us to heaven, into eternity. The word of God, souls, our family. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. And if you want to know about the law of inheritance, we won't go into that today, but it's written in the Old Testament in Numbers 27, 8. You can just study that, read that on your own when you go home. Deuteronomy 6, 6, 7 says, and these words which I am commanding you this day shall be first. Notice that, first, in your own minds and hearts. These words, the words of life, the Bible, they must be first. First means first, priority. Up front, in the front, taking priority above anything else. These words have to be in you on the tablets of your heart, foremost, first, he said. And notice it's not a suggestion, but he's commanding this. These words which I am commanding you this day shall be first in your own minds and hearts. And then notice, after he says, they shall be first, there's a pause. And then the next verse says, you shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate, teach, and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of who? Your children. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the wayside, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Sounds like that's a 24/7 thing. Continually, all the time. Are you talking about the Word of God? What are you teaching your kids at home? What type of godly spiritual inheritance are you instilling on the inside of them? The word here says, sharpen these words. Sharpen them into your kids. Don't wait until you drop them off in Sunday school. Like I said, universities and schools and out there in the world are not going to teach and instill these things. In fact, they're going to teach the opposite. I was listening to a few gentlemen. they were college professors, and they named the very prestigious professors in these universities in the United States. And they, this one who was an atheist, he's not an atheist anymore, he's a born-again Christian, he said that it was his, on his agenda, he had a strong drive along with other professors to try to talk his students out of Christianity, to mock it, to ask questions, to say, well, can you prove it? How can you prove Jesus? And to, so he would find out and target Christians in his classroom. And he would do everything that he could to discredit Christianity, to get them to doubt, to plant seeds of doubt and unbelief in them. And that was their mission. And that's just not in that one or two universities. It's across the world. It's across the United States. And so our kids, our children are being targeted. Us as parents, we have a responsibility, and grandparents and great-grandparents, to teach these precepts, teach these words, praying over your children, ingrain it. It said, wet and sharpen them, become skillful, masterful in what you're teaching your kids. Because if they don't hear it from you at home, you don't want to wait until what they get out there on the street or with their friends. It begins, it starts at home, and the command starts with us, with the parents. It says to sharpen them so as to make them penetrate, teach, and impress them. You know, when you impress something, you press, you make an impression to where it makes a lasting impression. When the Romans back in those days, you know, they had their signet rings, and when they wanted to sign something and send it over to another province, they would impress their ring into clay, into that order, a decree, and it was lasting. So we are to impress, press into, sharpen the Word of God into our children. Because all this other stuff, these videos that Disney puts out, they look so sweet and so, you know, even with our grandchildren. But I watch like a rattlesnake off of them. When I start hearing divination and spells and things like that, turning that off. You ain't watching that. When they start telling the kids, you have powers. You have powers. I told our granddaughter, you know, because she likes Frozen, she says, I have powers. And I says, no, you don't, honey. I says, the only powers that you have are from Jesus Christ. But you know, you may think, oh, come on, these are small little things that you're trying to indoctrinate to get into our kids' spirit. And we have to teach them compassion. We have to teach them the Word of God. A couple weeks ago, I took both our grandkids to a playground. And during the summer, these playgrounds are really full. And they were playing on the swings and on the slides and stuff like that. And there was a boy her own age, Joy's age, around 4 or 5. And he was with some other older boys. And he was crying really hard. And I seen that. And Joy seen that too. And she said, Bubba, she said, that little boy's crying. So I went over to him. And I'm thinking he lost his, maybe he got separated from his mom or dad. And I said, honey, what's wrong? And he was so upset. He couldn't even talk. And he just, you know, pointed to this older boy who had taken something from him, some kind of car or something. And so so I looked, and the boy wasn't that far off. And now I'm keeping my eye on Cashton, our grandson, because he's like a bullet, lightning. He can disappear and go off. And not seeing, Joy immediately goes up to that older boy, and she goes like this. She says, hey, you took that boy's car, and you're making him cry. Give it back to him. And I heard that, and the older boy gave it back to the little boy. And then she came back to me and just like, you know, took care of that, you know. And I was flabbergasted. I was amazed. I didn't tell her to say anything. I didn't, you know, encourage her, like, go in. But I just said, honey, I'm so proud of you. You know, I says, you stood up for that little boy. Yeah. And I says, I'm so proud of you. You know, you have that compassionate heart in you. And just to approach, you didn't care his size, that he was bigger than her, you know, but just something driven, you know, something on the inside of our young kids. That's what we want to instill, these precepts, the word of God. And so you as parents, it says, when you're sitting down, when you're around the table, when before they go to sleep, not just bedtime prayers, but instilling them, telling them what God has done. How God parted the Red Sea and did all these wonderful things, and how Jesus was raised from the dead. Their faith, they have strong faith, and it's pure, and they haven't been taught to doubt. And their faith, their heart is pure. That's why when children pray, you see results. And children are like sponges with everything. But when it comes to the things of God, they believe it with all their hearts, and they embrace it. But you have to continue doing that, even as they progress and get older. Because we can't assume that when they get to a certain age of accountability, that they'll continue in on their faith. Because so much is being assaulted out there against their minds. Verse 8 says, and you, in Deuteronomy 6, and you shall bind them. Bind what? Bind these words. Bind them, just like that, that little boy. You know, emphasizing, you know, the word of God. I'm sure he's seen his papa and different ministers do that, but I'd rather have him imitating godly actions than some of this junk that's going on in the world, you know, any day. But it says in verse 8, and you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand. And listen to this. This is from the Amplified. And they shall be as frontlets, forehead bands between your eyes. Yeah, frontlets, forehead bands between your eyes. I believe that that's where Satan stole from the scriptures, that when the Antichrist comes, that he's going to put his mark either on the foreheads or in the right hands. He stole it. He stole it from the scriptures. Stole it. Because God instructed us years ago in the verse that we're reading in Deuteronomy, bind them as a sign. They'll be like frontlets. Right in the front, forehead bands. Wear it around your forehead, meaning it'll protect your mind as well. It'll protect your thoughts. As you renew your mind, the word will be as a forehead band. Wear it, implement it. It'll guard what's going in. It'll guard your ear gates, your eye gates, your heart, and your mind. This is out of the Amplified. Because really, the Antichrist, Satan, has no creativity. Anything that he shows or boasts of, he stole it from the Lord. He stole it from the scriptures. And when he steals something, he takes it, and then he twists it, and then he perverts it. And because he has no creativity in him whatsoever. But that's where he got that, so during the tribulation. But God's saying, take my word, engraft it in your heart, write it on the tablets, write it on your forehead, so that, and over our minds, especially our minds, because we know that that's where the enemy plants and does his work. Deuteronomy 4:9 says this, only take heed and guard your life diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your mind and heart all the days of your life. Teach them to your children and your children's children. Teach them. So many parents nowadays are really working two jobs. Come home, have to do the necessary homework and feeding them, and then, washing their clothes, and a lot of times when it comes to 7-8 o'clock already, you're exhausted, and yet to sit down and teach them. But you have to find ways, implement them in the morning, praying. When someone, you know, I love when someone comes down with just a headache or sickness or flu or in your family, right away, take it to God. Teach them how to pray. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And stick with it. Stay with it. And this is precious, what you're ingraining in your children. And when they are older, when they get older, they will not depart from it. Why is that so? Even though it looks like they may be veering in the wrong direction, because it's incorruptible seed. Seed that can't be corrupted. I believe that's in 1 Peter. 1 Peter, 1st chapter 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. You have incorruptible seed. Your children do. Your grandchildren do. And so at an early age, yes, under the age of accountability, when Jesus comes, returns, and raptures the church, they're going. They're going because they're pure. They're not at the age of accountability yet, so you don't have to worry. But in the meantime, though, don't leave the tablets of their heart empty. Write on the tablets of their heart. Speak to them. Let them know, oh, no, we don't do things like that. No, we first pray. And children are great broadcasters. Children are great evangelists because they tell their friends. They tell their other children. And kids, they talk amongst themselves. And they're the greatest broadcasters of the Word of God. That's why we have to continually get it on the inside of them. Sharpen it. Make sure they have these tools. Don't send them out there to the schools fending for themselves. Get them confused. But when or if your child is exposed to any of these demonic indoctrinations or hear of these things, and they are so full of the Word of God, and so they'll hear and say, no, not me. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I've been born and created in His image. I know who I am. And just know that they know that they know. Not have somebody trying to plant a seed of confusion as to their identity, as to who they are. What are we raising in this society today with that type of teaching coming in? The word says it's an abomination. It's detestable to God. And what does God say about His little ones? Oh, they're precious. If you try to corrupt, pervert, hurt one of these little ones, He said it would be better for you to take a huge millstone, wrap it around your neck, and throw yourself into the ocean or a lake. Because I believe that there are harsher judgments that will come upon a person, men and women, who deliberately are trying to corrupt children through any means. And we know all that's going on in the world today through sex driving and through pornography and all these things. It's detestable. And people's minds, men and women's minds, are so seared to where they don't see anything wrong with this. It's an outrage. And so the church has got to speak up and say, oh, no, I stand here over these little ones. You get to me before you get to them. You know, you see anything like that going on. If my 4-year-old granddaughter can stand up to a bully that's almost twice as tall as her, say, hey, give that back to him. You're making him cry. Oh, okay. How much more us? People, men and women of God, we have to stand up for these things for righteousness' sake. So Deuteronomy again says, take heed and guard your life diligently, faithfully. Yeah. That scripture for the little ones is in Matthew 18:10. Yeah. Listen to this scripture. Matthew 18:10, it says, be careful, this is out of the Passion, Be careful that you do not corrupt one of these little ones. Be careful. For I can assure you that in heaven, each of their angelic guardians have instant access to my heavenly Father. You, boom, you know, don't you touch one of them. Instant access. Their angels have been given charge over them, yes, but the angels too have access into the throne room of heaven, to the heavenly Father. That's Matthew 18:10. Yeah. There's nothing but it's purely demonic and evil with all of this transgender movement and all of these things connected. And it's no surprise because, yes, we're in the end days and we know the nature of the Antichrist. And he's going to be on the scene very soon. All we're waiting for is the catching away, the rapture of the church. And then there, the tribulation will begin. And in Daniel, it says that the nature, the character of the Antichrist will be homosexual. He will not prefer women. He will not prefer. It's in Daniel. You can read it. I'm not just saying this. But that's his nature. That's what he's going to promote. That's what he's going to push. That's what he's going to try and push down our kids' throats. And you as parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, it's your godly responsibility to guard your child against these things and to make sure that their hearts, that those precious hearts stay innocent and pure, especially at that young age, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and so on. Ground them in these words, in the precepts. Talk about the Lord. Share with them. Tell them what he's done even with your lives, not just the Bible stories, you know, your epic stories like David and Goliath and the Red Sea opening and Jesus resurrecting from the dead. Talk about what he's done with you personally. Make them aware. This is what we live. This is what we believe. This is why we go to church. We worship God. And you notice children worship so unashamed when they raise their hands just pure worship. There's nothing like it. But as they get older, something gets in, and doubt and unbelief will creep in. And there's a lot of things that are pointed against our children, weapons of destruction over their minds, their hearts, their very souls. Satan wants them. He's not going to have ours. He's not going to have ours. Not if we have anything to do with it. Now, I'll fight to the core. I'll go to jail before I let you touch one of these little ones, before you get your slimy, greasy, filthy hands and try to indoctrinate them with this garbage. But the church has to stand up. Church has to be willing to say something. So in other words, I'll insert this. So for the elections, download, please, Google. You know, what I just do is I'll say, you know, ask them, are you a Christian? What do you believe? What do you stand for? Not just their party, not just because they're, he's related to cousin so-and-so. He's in our family. Oh, yeah, brother. Oh, yeah, yeah, we're going to support you. No, find out what they stand for. They're going to fight for you. We have some godly men and women running for office. Back them up. Vote for them. Get them in there. Make sure that they're going to be representing us. So when this garbage comes down the pike, they're saying, oh no, just like the governor of Florida, I'm just going to sign a bill, get that out. It's not going to happen here in our state. And we got to make sure of it. We can't be passive and easy peasy about these things. And then when it's on your doorstep, bring, you know, oh my God. You know, we can act and start doing some groundwork now. So vote these godly men and women. Vote and ask the Holy Spirit. He'll show you. Men and women of righteousness. So in closing, I want you to turn to John, 3 John, all the way at the end of the Bible before Revelation. And Reuben, if the ushers can bring in the 3 John, first chapter, verse 4. It says, "And I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are living their lives in the truth." Wow. I'll read that again. I have no greater joy. My joy isn't in how many cars I'm going to pass on down to the kids. They have their own house. That's all fine and good. That is awesome if you can do that. If you can financially set up your kids with accounts and all of this so they don't have to work as hard. But that's not the president. That's not priority. But God's word says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are living their lives in the truth. Amen. But it doesn't happen automatic. It's not going to just drop into them just because you're well-wishing, just because maybe one of you come to church. And for those of you that still have not come back to church since the pandemic, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Come back. These are perilous times. You need to get grounded. You need to get under the anointing, the presence of God. Don't think that you're all that you can do it on your own. Come back into the house of God. Forsake not the assembling together. And so it says, no greater joy than to hear that your children are living their lives in the truth. Now take that on the flip side. Flip that on the other side now. You're a parent, you're a grandparent, you haven't done anything to perpetuate or instill righteousness or talk about the Lord in your home. You just figure, well, when the kids are older, they can decide for themselves. Or if it's, you know, one of the parent comes to churches, dad stays home or mom stays home or I'm too tired, I worked a double shift, whatever the reason is. But the flip side to this scripture is, you can read it like this, I have no greater sorrow than to hear that my children are living their lives in darkness and deception. That would be the flip side to that. And so that's not what we want. That's not what we want.